Hi, and welcome back to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. We know you're busy, and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may likely be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We've recorded the first three chapters of our book for you to listen to for free. Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/freesample. Hi, this is Christian Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And when we're working with organizations and teams, we often have people that say, leaders that say, we want our people to hold their people more accountable. We want to build a culture of accountability. And we kind of wonder, well, what do you mean by that? What is a culture of accountability?
And often when teams assess themselves, one of their lowest scores on the team assessment that we use that looks at five key measures for a team success is the one around accountability. It's actually the one that consistently scores the lowest. And that particular accountability piece is tied to how well teams give each other feedback around behaviors, because behaviors are usually a precursor to actual results.
Yeah. If somebody's always late on doing things or interrupts or takes charge or is too controlling, that's eventually going to lead to bad results for themselves and for their team, really.
And so a lot of times when leaders are saying, hey, I need my managers and leaders to be better at delivering, holding people accountable, I would suggest that one of the first places to look is how well do you hold the people around you accountable? And when we talk about accountabilities, we shared this before, we don't think of it as punishing or calling out. We really do think it's about having a conversation. And in that conversation, there's two key parts to it. And one is the ability to actually step up and be willing to share how I put my world together and tell you about the impact. Because when I tell you how I'm putting my world together, it may have very well have something to do with what I think you're doing.
Yeah.
It usually does. And then tell you the impact that's having on me. And I think sometimes it is the piece that people don't realize how vital and important that is to building a successful culture of accountability.
Susan, I think most people think, well, when we ask managers about holding their team members accountable, just even their direct reports, they're like, I hate those conversations. Those are the hardest conversations to have. And I think it's because they're assuming they're right and their person is wrong. They're going in with that right, wrong, and I've got to deliver a message that you are wrong.
Now, you've got to be different anyway. You've got to change.
Yeah. And with that intention, you've already made it up in your world what's right and wrong. You're not giving that other human being any chance to share how they put the world together. And so really checking your intention and backing it up, and even if you do think they're wrong, being willing to have the conversation where they get to show up because they probably did what they thought was best based on how they were putting their world together at the time. And so slowing down and figuring that out will do a lot more to help influence, even if you do need this person to change their behavior. But without having that conversation, I think we get so addicted to speed and you did it wrong, do it this way, and here I'm holding you accountable.
Well, and in that, I think part of that is because so often accountability is tied to a performance measure, a title, a raise or not a raise, a number. And as a result of that, it loses the conversation because that so easily takes it to a right, wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have measures, but if you use measures as the right, wrong of it, that's actually not that.
Well, it doesn't invite the conversation right. To find out. You're going to have more impact, I believe. This is Chris Murray. You will have more impact if you find out, yeah, they didn't hit their number. You know that, they know that. So have the conversation of what happened. And there may be other things that are going on that you're going to discover. And even you could even discover that this person is brilliant in the fact that they didn't hit their number. I don't know, but so many managers are so quick to just so uncomfortable. I just need to tell you you're wrong. You're not getting your bonus. And can I leave now? End of call.
Right. And if you want to build a culture of accountability, I think it becomes more about, I'm going to talk about this idea of learning and creating a culture where that is really fundamentally what's critical. Because feedback is really your best path for learning and developing. However, if it's always tied to you could lose your job, that may not be actually helping create an environment that's supports learning.
I do think this, and we talked about Ted Lasso in another episode, but the whole idea of Ted saying, hey, there's a lot more football. They lose this important match and they think it's just horrible, but he's there's a lot more football to play. And I think in business, we tend to think, no, we've got to meet this or horrible things are going to happen. And maybe if you're curing cancer, that is true. Most tech businesses or most other businesses are not even nonprofits, it's not life or death. It's not that threatening. And so you've got to create like space in the system for people to not hit their numbers and learn from that and feel the pain or the consequence, but help them understand it so that they pick themselves up and move forward versus being obliterated.
And for me, I shared this in our Monday Mojo recently, but I'll share it here, is that where this really came to fullness and significance to me was when I was in my university for my master's in behavioral science. And it was an experiential school, but it also was a master's program. So you had to hit all the marks to get through it and graduate. But one of the things that really struck me was we were constantly, in every situation we were in, giving each other feedback, peer-to-peer, in classes. And in many ways, the feedback we got about that was much more about how we delivered feedback than the feedback, how we received it.
Or what the feedback was.
Yeah. And it became, first off, that really struck me is I'm actually being taught how to give feedback that's useful. And later I was receive it. But later when I was talking to one of the professors, they were like, hey, that's by design. Because at the end of every year, we would sit the way we got we didn't get a report card. We actually would sit down with a panel of our faculty and get a lot of feedback. And it could be intimidating. But
you've got a panel of basically in business, it would be like a panel of your bosses giving you feedback.
But what was cool about it was this professor, she said to me, the idea here is that we only succeed if what we're actually telling you isn't a surprise. Like for us, we evaluate ourselves on knowing that we've actually created a culture where if you're going to get bad news at the end of the year related to your graduation or not, you have heard it in some fashion. It's not going to surprise you.
Maybe even multiple times you've heard it.
Yes. And that may be the conversation you end up having about, okay, what have or haven't you done with this feedback you've already received? So this isn't new. And it was a whole different way of thinking about it. And actually how they evaluated themselves was how well those conversations went, whether they were just very one-sided, whether there was a discussion, whether how they showed up. Because there's also how they got feedback on the system.
The faculty?
Yeah. And that was actually really, I thought, that is cool. And that really would be a learning organization. And I think a lot of times there have been many business leaders who have suggested that building a learning culture is way more critical than anything else. But I don't think it always gets, it's a little leg, could be the soft side or something like that. And that's probably why it doesn't get into, it means more if you say a culture of accountability than a culture of learning. But really if you really want to have a culture of accountability, it needs to be a culture of learning.
Yeah. Because accountability and providing feedback is not just this transactional or a job task. It's really helping somebody learn and grow. It is. Sorry, I'm going back to Ted Lasso. He is actually helping his team, his soccer players, learn and grow. He has other people that help them do soccer better, but he helps them develop.
Or football. Learn to say.
Yeah. And I do think so often, because leaders are so uncomfortable having these conversations, they avoid it, minimize it, and they make it such right, wrong, and, oh, I don't want to deal with this person's reaction versus, hey, have these conversations and have them give you feedback. Like have it be a two-way street where you're learning and growing, because that will develop a term we like to use is distress tolerance, which is being in an uncomfortable situation, but having like a shock absorber in yourself. And the only way you develop that is through practice and practice getting and giving feedback. And even sometimes we work for cultures that are not tough, like I was saying in the beginning of this episode, but they're too nice. And so they'll just never say anything critical or disagreeing with how somebody did something. And so the person doesn't know it. And that's when you get a performance review or a 360 feedback. And the person's like shocked or surprised.
Yeah.
That is devastating. And that's no shock absorber. They haven't actually given any, like your learning organization piece. I think it's so, so brilliant, but so many just don't adopt it.
I mean, I go back to even something from Haven in the Come Alive experience. There's a moment where there's this whole discussion around how we have all this energy that flows in us pretty naturally. And if you take a baby and the baby is, you're watching an infant, you see them, they do everything. They scream, they cry, they laugh, they do. And it's just this constant evolution of emotional movement, really. Yeah. And then you can actually see they start to learn what's okay and what's not. And they tighten up or they straighten up and they smile.
As they age.
As they age. They actually learn to restrict that energy, that free flow of what are they like? What are they dislike? How do they move that? And that's actually the beginning developmental aspect of how we get to this place later where we're so tied to never making a mistake, never saying the wrong thing, never hurting someone's feelings. All of those things get manifested into this, to where basically our own inner ability to know what we like and dislike and not get being able to regularly
share that
gets shut down. And I don't know, it's so many times people like, there's nothing I dislike about anyone in this room because I don't know them yet. And it's not about knowing them. What you like and dislike has a lot more to do with just your innate being. And you're going to like some things and dislike some things. And really, that's about you. And you've actually lost your internal reference point for liking and disliking, which is not healthy.
And I think you can't see Susan right now, but she's doing a lot of movement with her hands and her body, because what we like and dislike is actually cut. It lives in our body. But what we do is we make up stories in our head about what we like and dislike, and they get stuck there. So I was even thinking about the Come Alive experience where you're sharing what you like and dislike, and I could finish saying I'm distant from you or I'm not wanting to sit next to you. And the very act of saying that, I release my energy and then I'm like, okay, I'll sit next to you. Like it shifts. It's not so static. But when we make it a purely cognitive or intellectual construct and not connected to our bodies and our energy, we get black and white, right, wrong, and stuck.
I think about that even related to working with the horses. And I know often Bobby and I have talked about this. We talked about that. She's talked about it before. Horses are so compassionate in how they deliver their feedback. And really, the only reason why that I think is so true is because horses aren't tied to any story like you're talking about. They innately are just giving you very immediate associations to what they're picking up on. Whether you seem congruent or incongruent, whether your heart rate's fast or slow, whether their stomach's gurgling or not. It's like it's a very real in-the-moment thing. And they're not tying. It's like, really, if you change, they would change very quickly. They're not attached to their story. So they will quickly, and we don't do that. But we have, by the time we get up the courage to tell somebody that they're doing something that we really find offensive, it's all sorts of other things may have gone on. Like you said, once you actually say it, you can be present and really then be intrigued by how it's received. But you can't get there without finding pathways through to starting to bring your energy forward on a regular basis.
And this is true even because we're going to be up in Haven doing a Couples Alive. It's so true in couples. There's people that haven't told their spouse something for 30 years. And when they finally find a way, say, and also recognize the impact, it like the whole thing shifts and they've lost 30 years of making that person wrong or putting them in a box. And so I think the more I can actually own and say, hey, Susan, when you did this, my story was this and I didn't like it. I was distant from you. And it can start to be
a conversation
and more frequent as opposed to is a performance review, or for couples, my gosh, only when things are like on fire are you having these conversations, which is not the best time to be pulling out all the things you don't like, because you're not very present. So it's finding ways where you can actually speak up, create a conversation, be curious and interested, whether it's your direct report, whether it's your peer. Too often in business, executives think, oh, it's not my job to give my peer feedback. That's my boss's job. And oh my gosh, you are leaving your peer out there hanging if you're not saying the impact, because what are you going to do? You're going to go to the boss and say, I can't stand it that Larry's doing this. But don't tell him I said that. You go deliver that message. And then the boss tells Larry, whatever you said. And Larry's, oh my gosh, now I can't trust my teammates. They're tattling on me. It's horrible. So fine, it takes courage and it takes practice, and you're going to make mistakes. And yes, people are going to get upset.
But I think about, even recently, I was with a team and we were going through a beauty conflict and an offsite and looking at the different layers of the triangle of trust at the bottom, collective results at the top. And there was that, I was like, okay, you have to do this in order. And the reality of it is no. Honestly, yes, trust is foundational to everything. But surprisingly enough, having a hard conversation and being really real in it is one of the most trust-building things that can happen. And so even though it's at up here at accountability, it's more closer to the top, it is a huge trust builder. And I think sometimes people don't realize it's not like you have trust and then you can be frank and honest. You actually build trust by being frank and honest and curious. So add that curiosity piece to it.
Because it really is. And you can check out, you can look and listen to some of our other podcasts. One is Check It Out, or Check Out Your Story, where we talk about how to actually approach a conversation where you're not laying down, this is it. You're actually saying, hey, this is what I heard and saw. This is a story I'm making up. And so I'm not really too happy. I'm frustrated, but I want to check out. Was that your intention? Is that what happened for you? And then there's a dialogue, and that's the conversation that's so magical, but it's not comfortable. I'm not going to lie. It can be you're dealing with somebody maybe getting news that, what? I had no idea. So their defenses may come up, and reflecting back what you're hearing is such a powerful tool in that moment. If your intention is to create a bridge, not to win or prove you're right or make them wrong, when you're in those, and not to say that I don't go there, but when you're in those, that kind of intention, you're in, if you've heard us talk about the whole brain living, you're in your character one and two trying to defend yourself. You're not really interested in this connection with this other human being, who, by the way, you're probably going to have to work with or live with tomorrow, the next week, next month. So you want to actually create more resiliency in that relationship by having the conversations.
All right. Well, hopefully this will help you think about and consider, what do you really mean by a culture? What is
of accountability?
Accountability. And consider the idea that accountability is much more than just holding somebody to a task.
It's really about having the conversation and being interested in what's going on for that other person and having many more of them along the way, as opposed to once a year or once a quarter. And this is true whether you're at work or at home or with your kids. Really being willing to enter those, you know, brave conversations more frequently. And that will help build your distress tolerance, your capacity for hearing and giving feedback and creating that connection. Take care.
Take care. Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you want to take some of what you've learned on today's episode to the next level, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
Go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit to learn more. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.